Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Verse 3. Yam cha dharma dugham dinam.
Yam cha dharma dugham dinam.
Vrisham sudra parahatam.
Vrisham sudra parahatam.
Vivatsam asru vadanam.
Vivatsam asru vadanam.
Shamam yavasab icchati. Dham, the cow, cha, also, dharma dugham, beneficial because one can draw religion from her. Dinam, now rendered poor, ambrisham, distressed, shudra, lower caste, pada ahatam, beaten on the legs. Vivatsam, without any calf. Asru varanam, with tears in her eyes. Chamam, very weak. Yavasam, grass. Itchati, as if desiring to have some grass to eat. Translation, although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a sudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Purport. The next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. The great rishis and munis would live only on milk. Srila Sukadev Goswami would go to a householder where he was milking a cow, and he would simply take a little quantity of it for subsistence. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive a sadhu of a quart or two of milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For a sitanist, a follower of Vedic principles, it is a duty, a sanatanist, it is a follower of Vedic principles, it is a duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. The sanatanist worships cows on religious principles and respects brahmanas. The cow's milk is required for sacrificial fire, and by performing sacrifices the householder can be happy. The cow's calf not only is beneficial to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow, and so she delivers as much milk as possible. But in Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which may not be mentioned in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The cows stand with tears in her eyes, and the sudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially, and when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These grateful, sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cows and the bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy, but it is a fact by the law of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles for the total happiness of humanity. Translation: although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she is now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs are being beaten by a sudra. There are tears in her eyes, and she is distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. So, the previous verse described the bull, Dharma, and this verse describes the cow, who is also the earth. So the cow is described quite graphically here as being someone you can milk Dharma from, Dharma Dugam. Milk was, but unfortunately there was no milk coming from her, and she was suffering, Dinam, beaten by the Sudra. Tears were in her eyes. She had no calf, and she was very weak and was hungry. She was asking, desiring to eat grass. So in other words, the cow was very, very miserable. We can take this literally. In Kali Yuga, as Prabhupada does in the purport, in Kali Yuga the cows suffer. Either they don't care for cows at all, and they don't care for the milk from the cows, or if they do, then they commercialize the milk production, etc. And in this way they take away the calf from the cow, and they all feed them artificial things instead of nice fresh grass, and consequently the cow is very miserable. And though it looks like they're increasing their milk production, technically speaking from the Vedic point of view, they're not doing that at all, because it's all a Dharma that's coming out. Here it says Dharma Dugam. You can milk Dharma out of the cow. But if they exploit the cow in this way, what they think is profitable milk production actually is not milk at all. So therefore there's no Dharma in it, no good qualities in that milk. And of course, not only that, then as Prabhupada mentions, they send the cows to the slaughterhouse, and same with the newborn calves, etc. So in this way, a lot of problems are there. So the Vedic literatures always praise the cow, and the cow is protected. This is one of the occupations of the Vaishya, to protect the cows. It's called Goraksha, or protection of the cow. So that's a duty, one of the main duties of the working classes: protect the cow and do the farming. So important part of the balance within the Varnashram system. As Prabhupada points out, the milk is used from the cow for nourishment of the human being. And that nourishment is very special, because with that nourishment one gets good intelligence to practice Dharma. As we see here, it says Dharma Dugan. Dharma comes from the cow, so actually it's milk. But if you drink the milk, then you have enough sattvic intelligence to perform Dharma properly. So the system was set up in such a way that the human being could survive very comfortably on earth in cooperation with cows and agriculture. Of course, we also have the sudras who do the menial occupations as well. But the Vaishyas were involved largely in farming and in milk production. So we see that in Bhagavatam,
Krishna is a cowherd, and he is caring for the calves and the cows and milking the cows. So the Supreme Lord himself is involved in this industry of cow protection. We see that the wealth of the cowherds was the milk products, like the ghee and the yogurt. So this was part of the traditional system, and that kept stability in society. We do not know. We cannot prove it factually in many ways. Of course, we can probably infer, but we cannot prove it factually how the system operates and how it keeps the balance. But we can see in the modern world one of the byproducts of the modern age is the way in which the human being destroys the earth. And part of it has to do with the wrong use of the cow and the bull. They raise the cow and the bull for slaughter. And if we calculate that, then we see that principal economy of some countries is based upon a production of beef. And then that means consumption of beef. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, we see that the earth is, as Prabhupada said, I think in that last lecture, that actually there's enough, there's no overpopulation and lack of food for anybody, but we're just misusing the whole earth in the wrong way. So if we use it for the wrong purposes, and we're using it for getting cattle out there to feed on the grass, etc., then, and we use them for cow slaughter, then yes, we're going to have problems. So they've calculated it, that a lot of the environmental problem is caused by the huge production of commercial beef, and how they have to waste so much land and water and energy just to, and then the result of the energy is, the result of this is they end up with the waste products, and the waste products contaminate the ground, and many, many problems with the commercial production of either dairy or of meat products. So, and if they were to stop that, then we'd immediately solve a lot of our environmental problems. So from this we see that the exploitation of the animal, the cow, leads to imbalance in the earth itself. So the other aspect of this, of course, is, and of course this is a dharma because we're exploiting the animal and then are killing the animals. And one of the characteristics of Kali Yuga is violence, lack of mercy. So that is represented by the killing of the cow. Of course, now the other is the meaning, is the symbolic meaning. The bull was, of course, literally the bull, but also the principles of Dharma. And the cow is the earth. So when we say the cow is suffering and the cow is calfless and the cow is crying and being beaten by the sudra, we can just see that this is also the earth. The earth is crying. The earth is calfless. The earth is not giving any milk. The earth is distressed. So as a result of the, treatment by the people of Kali Yuga, then the earth suffers. And when the earth suffers, it does not give properly, it will not give the milk, and will not give anything productive to us. So in other words, the suffering earth, a suffering cow means a suffering earth. A suffering earth means ultimately human beings must also suffer. So again, we get imbalance within the cycle set up by the Supreme Lord. So we see that the system was very nicely outlined in the scriptures. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a perfect system if it is executed properly. When it's not executed properly, it falls apart, and then we get all sorts of problems arising. Yeah? So in the rest of the world, of course, they don't have any aspect of Varnashram, or at least the Daiva Varnashram. At most, it can be some sort of Asurik Varnashram. So necessarily, that system is not going to work very nicely, and there's going to be an imbalance between human beings and earth, and lack of dharma, and more animal slaughter, more destruction of the earth, less resources available for the human being. That's the natural prediction for the earth and Kali Yuga. We see at the end of Kali Yuga, of course, it ends with a very hopeless stage where very little dharma is left. Maybe we get 10% dharma left out of whatever was previously there, or maybe less than that. And then it's all finished. And then there's a restoration. The old population is annihilated. And new population comes, and system is restored, earth is happy again, dharma is there, and we get Satyayuga. There's a point at which it becomes so hopeless that the Lord arranges for revival of the earth in its proper form again. Then, of course, it goes through the whole cycle again of Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, Kali. So this is the unfortunate position of being in the material world. In our particular Varsha, we're subject to these cycles of degradation, or disintegration of dharma, and more and more suffering on the earth, increase of sinful activities, etc. But to help the situation, the Lord restores it, the earth, and then we get Satya Yuga again. So that's the mercy of the Lord, that when it gets too chaotic, then the Lord restores the order. So this is the system set up by the Lord, and it's there in the scriptures, including the Bhagavatam. And those who have faith will understand and accept the principles that are enunciated here. This, of course, is only part of a larger picture. We have dharma and, the earth and bull and the cow and Kali Yuga, sinful activities, etc. This is only, we could say, concentrating on the material aspect of human survival. But then we have the other aspect, the spiritual aspect. So the two are not unrelated. They are intimately entwined also, though here the emphasis upon the Varnashram system of dharma and prosperous earth. So this is something like the karma, the karma yoga section of the arrangement. So the Vedas arrange for survival and happiness of everyone, materially speaking, through karma yoga. But then included in that is moksha and prema. Worship of the Supreme Lord should also be there to make it in Daiva Varnashram. We cannot disconnect the two. So how that's possible is we have good leaders who are not only leaders, but they're also devotees. And that's why the whole system of kings was there, to make sure that the leaders that instituted the system were also spiritually minded. And then this way the system would continue without problems. When we disconnect the system from the spiritual aspect, then it begins to fail. And that's what happens in Kali Yuga. It fails. They can still have the system, but separated from spiritual life, more atheistic materialist, then it fails. So we have to have that other element there also. But the hope, or we could say the positive point, is that bhakti survives in any case, whether it's Satya, Treta, Dwapara, or Kali. Bhakti can survive. It's not completely dependent on that other system of karma yoga and varnashram and dharma, etc. It can survive. So that's why in the chapter sloki of the Bhagavatam, the four verses there spoken to Brahma, the Lord says that this is the system, this is the method that is to be practiced at all times in all places. So in other words, you can practice it in Kali Yuga as well as in Satya, Treta, and Dwarpa Yuga at all times. Yeah? From the beginning of the day of Brahma to the end of the day of Brahma. From the beginning of the life of Brahma to the end of the life of Brahma. And of course, we can also practice in the spiritual world beyond Brahma's lifetime. So that the actions of bhakti go on, they're actually eternal. So they're not restricted by any time. And of course, time in the sense of old or young, a small child can practice, an old person can practice, anyone can practice. And of course, all places. Even in Kali Yuga, we have what we call better places and worse places. Some places have better material facility, some have not so good material facility. Nevertheless, the process of bhakti can go on in all these different places, in all sorts of conditions. Some conditions are more favorable, some are less favorable according to financial or political or whatever arrangements, but the process of devotion can go on. So therefore, in spite of the corruption of the whole system and the degradation of the earth, etc., lack of varnashram principles, still, at any rate, the hope is that we continue with the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. I mentioned before, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this also, that the principle is a common principle, that is the real dharma, the nitya dharma of everyone, that is to have love of the Supreme Lord. But it is only manifested partially in different places, in different religions, etc. It takes different forms according to the culture of the people. They have different rituals, different ceremonies, different languages, different names of God. External signs to identify you as a member of that particular church, etc. So, nevertheless, the principle is somewhere in the jiva, somewhere in the body there's that jiva, and he's longing for that relationship with the Lord. But it's covered over to various degrees. Religions are supposed to help uncover to some degree. In any case, that uncovery of the jiva's propensity should be there in any society to make it function properly. And to the extent that the society can do that, then it prospers and the people are happy. If the societies become very secular or atheistic, then this is complete. It's discouraged, it's repressed in the human beings, and they become more dissatisfied. The other problem is that the people who are so-called religious will become attached to the external things rather than the cultivation of the Atma's love of Supreme Lord. And then they're thinking in terms of the external signs, the external dress, etc., exclusively. Or the external rituals, and they identify themselves as different from everybody else. So when we emphasize that too much, and we forget about the actual purpose is to establish a relationship with the Lord, an actual relationship, then the religion itself becomes corrupted. And that's also what happens generally within Kali Yuga, because people are less intelligent, more addicted to sense gratification, short-lived, confused. They tend to misidentify what is the actual purpose of religion is. And then they identify with all the external things. And then this way we get religious factions and sectarianism and fanaticism and whatever like that. So that this kind of ruins the religion. We're concentrating on externals and we're not cultivating internally. So this becomes a problem around the world, and even we can say for the Vaishnava, we have to be careful that it's not just externals we're concentrating on, just because you put tilaka on or whatever like that. It's not the ultimate. It's a sign definitely, but it's not the ultimate how we distinguish a proper person from an improper person. So the actual is this cultivation of bhakti. The closer we are to realization of a relationship, to that extent we actually have an understanding of the principle of nitya dharma or eternal dharma. We have to keep that in mind at all times, and we can keep the external signs, but we also have to cultivate internally, and this way we can understand the principle of nitya dharma, which is the need of all people, and then we can express that by trying to communicate that to others, and in this way we can uplift the people of Kali Yuga, get them out of the sectarian concept, and also by reviving or stimulating their spiritual interests, we can counteract all the influences of Kali Yuga. Okay. Villages with farms were one aspect of the Varnashram system, but they weren't everything. So we had cities there also, big cities. Dwarka was there, Hastinapur was there, Mathura was there. So many other cities were there all along. So we see that it's natural also that in any civilization, they eventually develop into cities. They had, you know, all these civilizations had cities, so it looks like that's also a natural propensity of people to have cities. And of course, that complements also the farmers, because they need protection, and they can't, if they concentrate on protecting themselves, they can't farm. So therefore, it's in the cities that we get the kshatriyas ruling, and then they develop the defense systems and they protect the farmers. So there's some sort of balance there. And of course, what do the farmers do? They give the produce to the cities, their excess produce, and then the cities get that and they trade with that and get nourished by that also. So there's a balance between the agrarian community and the cow production and the city life. It's not one or the other, it's the interdependence is there. In other words, some people, devotees can be farmers, but we don't have to say everybody has to be a farmer, because that's also not proper. Everyone has different qualities. So some people who are Vaishya qualities, they have Vaishya qualities, they'll have to do the farming. Other people will not be able to do that. Some may be sudras, so the sudras can also work with the vaishyas. But then the vaishyas need a little bit of a control also, so that like Nanda Maharaj is the king of the cowards, and he's the one that gives advice to them on what to do. So we also need someone in that society. And then for the community itself, we do need larger protection. Of course, in modern world, so is the government supposed to do that? We have laws, police forces, and stuff like that. So that's concentrated in the city, the Brahminical portion in the modern world. They don't have that. So that has to be supplied by the devotees as well, and within the community, but also within the city. So devotees can live in any place, but we cannot neglect or repress or destroy the farm community also, but it has to be both. part of the Vaishya community is also traders, merchants. So those people are more likely going to survive in a city environment than in a country environment. It's preferable in all cases. People used to ask Prabhupada about that. Oh, that's milk. And he said, well, if you can't get anything else, okay, take it. But obviously it's a better option if we got our own ahimsa milk done from our cows and whatever. Much, much better, obviously. The other problem, of course, is commercial milk is polluted also. It's got all sorts of chemicals and stuff in it that aren't very good for you. So apart from that, then there's the theory that those cows actually aren't giving the right milk anyway, whatever. So, you know, there's all sorts of minuses there with that production. And of course there's sinful activity attached to it also, because they kill the calves and the bulls, etc.
So the argument that the devotees prove that by offering that milk from the dairy industry, although it is involving killing the dairy cows and everything, will purify the cows.
And well, as I was saying, if we have a better option, fine, we take that and we just avoid it completely. If not, we're forced to then at least offer it. But, you know, what do? And in the early days when Prabhupada was there, there was no option in America. There was no such thing as a ahimsa farm or whatever like that. It was all commercial. So they were forced to do it. But if we have options, we take that option and just avoid it completely.
There's some families in Iskcon, they say that it's better to be vegan than consume the products.
Yeah. If they can get there, if they can get their nourishment elsewise, I suppose they can do that. Yeah. Okay, fine. Hare Krishna.